on the air now with breaking news in the killing of George Floyd, who died on Memorial Day. There you see.
The Kentucky family is demanding answers today. The death of a frontline healthcare worker.
Growing outrage tonight over the death of a man in South Georgia. Ahmaud Arbery was shot.
Earlier today, this was a day filled with protests and protesters, peaceful demonstrations. But the crowd today, more about having their voices heard.
Well, good morning, family. So good to see all of you all here again, man. I love this opportunity that we get to worship. And I know we're not in person. We're not gathered in person yet. It's going to come, but it's not here yet. But it's so good to just for us to be able to still hear God's word, to still be able to lift up the name of Jesus wherever you may be. And so I just want to say once again, a big welcome to all of you guys. I always say BFAM. For our Bridge Church family, you're already a part of the family. I miss you. I love you. I can't wait to see you, myself and Ariel. And then for some of you all who are new to our online family, you're a part of the BFAM as well. So we want to say a big welcome to you all as well. But it's so good to see you here this morning. I want to say, before we get into the message today, I want to say a big thank you, church family, to just your generosity. This past weekend, we actually had our drive-through food drive, and I thank you so much just for honoring God and bringing different non-perishable items so that way we could be a blessing to people in our community. As you know, we've talked about a few times how we have partnerships with organizations like Thrive Peninsula and the Food Bank, and we've been able to, because of your generosity by donating food, we've been able to resource them to help people in our community who are in need, because I don't know if you know this or not, we're still in a pandemic. And there's been a lot of job loss, and there's been a lot of people who've experienced a lot of difficulty during this time. And so I believe that Jesus has called us to be his hands and his feet and to be generous. And so thank you so much, church family, just for being so awesome and being a blessing and bringing all those items this past weekend. And I also want to say thank you for your generosity financially by giving to God through this church. Your giving allows us to be able to reach people near and far. Your giving allows us to be able to take the gospel message through technology and to be creative in different ways so that way we can reach more people, we can love more people. So thank you so much, church family, just for your generosity during this time. So here's what I need you to do. We're going to dive right into part four of our series, Watch the Throne. But before that, I need you to go ahead and share the video. Go ahead and share this video right quick because we want to get this gospel message out to as many people as possible. And I want to let you know something, man. God's been using our sermon series to touch so many lives. There's been other churches who have been sharing our content. Some of you all have been following us on Facebook, and you've been seeing that we've been having different conversations that center around race and justice and how we can respond as the kingdom. And so many people, y'all, so many people have been tuning in all around the world. And I thank you so much just for your prayers and just for you being a part of that. That's like, we are a part of this. God is using our church to make a difference near and far for such a time as this. So I thank you just for your obedience. So share that video so that way others can be a part of this experience. But we are in part four of our sermon series called Watch the Throne. Go ahead and say it with me. Say, Watch the Throne. We are in this series that we've been in for the past 3 weeks. And it's been a series that is all about us speaking to the racial inequities and the injustices that we see. It's all about equipping us as the people of God as to how we are to respond and helping us to see what is the role that the church plays in this. It's really designed to help us have a solid biblical foundation on how we approach the racial tension and the injustices that we see and how, as believers, we are called to be bridge builders. It's a good name for a church. We're called to be bridge builders. And this sermon series actually comes from the book of Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 because it is a picture of God's righteousness or his justice both in the earth and also for all of eternity. But it's also a picture of God's reconciliation, meaning that God wants to make things one. So God not only wants to make things right, he wants to make people one. And here's what it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." Do you see the words there? as I looked, or after this, I looked. This is John, and he says, I looked, and then later on, he says, I saw at the throne people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. I saw them in white robes. All this language speaks of the righteousness of God, meaning people have been made right with God, and things have been made right in all the land. But then also God's reconciliation, where people have now been made one across ethnic lines and generational lines as well, that God has made all of these different people from these different backgrounds, not just friends, but he's made them family. And that's what this series has been all about. It's been all about helping us to cultivate a heart for righteous justice. Justice, let me say it like this, it is about making things right. And as I mentioned last week, one of the things that we see when we see all the injustices that are taking place, there's oftentimes two trains of thought and two streams of thought. And oftentimes we usually fall in one of these streams of thought. One is we're crying out for justice and justice and nothing else. And many people want justice, but don't want reconciliation. But then there's others who just want reconciliation. Like, man, we just need to come together. We just need to be unified, which is true, but they don't cry for justice. As the people of God, God doesn't call us to pick sides. He says it's both and. I want you to cry for justice, but I want you to cry for reconciliation. Justice rights the wrong, but reconciliation closes the gap, which brings us to this account today of here where we see Jesus in a very interesting situation. I want to go to Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 19, just for our brief moments today. And here's what the Bible says. It says, they came to Jerusalem, meaning Jesus and his disciples, and he went into the temple and began to throw out those buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. I'm going to read that again because I don't know if y'all caught that. Jesus goes into the temple. He begins to throw out those people buying and selling. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple. He was teaching them, verse 17, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. I'm calling part four of our sermon series, All the Smoke. Are you ready for it? I just said it. That's the name of our sermon. All the Smoke. That's what I'm calling today's message. All the Smoke. Some of y'all are trying to figure out, like, man, where did you get this title from? I'll tell you in a moment. But I'm calling this sermon of this series, Watch the Throne, All the Smoke. Matter of fact, I want you to tell somebody in your house right now. I want you to find somebody. I want you to text somebody right now and tell them, I'm here for all the smoke. I'm here for all the smoke. And this brings us to this account where we see Jesus as he's preparing to go to the cross to die for the sins of humanity. The Bible says that Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, which is the place where he would fulfill his earthly purpose, which was to die on the cross by crucifixion for the sins of the world, so that people would be made one with God. But it's interesting, because as Jesus approaches the city of Jerusalem, something interesting happens, and it's not actually mentioned in Mark's account of this story, but it's actually mentioned in Luke's account of this same story. Because around Luke chapter 19, verse 41, notice what Luke says as Jesus comes to the city known as Jerusalem. It says, as he approached and saw the city, he wept for it. He wept for the city. The Bible says that Jesus cries out over the city. Why was Jesus weeping over the city? Because of the people's soon rejection of him? Because of the sin that was present? Because of the injustices that were present? Because of the division that was present? Because of the oppression that was present? People were lost. Jesus is weeping because he sees a broken city, which represents a broken world. He sees brokenness all around them. And I think this is a good point for us to understand something very, very powerful about Jesus and who he is. That when Jesus sees our cities, when he sees our communities, when he sees our country in the state that it is in, when he sees our world in the state that it is in, he weeps. He weeps because of the injustice that's present. He weeps because of the racism that's present, because of the division that is present, because of the murders that are taking place. He weeps over the lives that have been lost. He weeps because of the mistreatment that we have seen in recent weeks, but also that we have seen for years. In other words, he wept when George Floyd lost his life. He wept when Breonna Taylor lost her life. He wept when Ahmaud Arbery lost his life because of the injustices. This past weekend was Father's Day, and I thought about George Floyd and how he was a father. And I also thought about how Father's Day now for his kids will look different for the rest of their lives. They are mourning the loss of their father. When we see the injustices that have taken place, our response should be the same as Jesus. It should cause us to weep. It should cause us to mourn. A guy by the name of Leonard Ravenhill, he writes in his book, Why Revival Tarries, he says this, which is very powerful. We must be a culture of righteous weepers. We must be a culture of righteous weepers. What does he mean by that? We should be a people who weep and mourn when we see the things taking place that are taking place. We should be a people who mourn the deaths of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Eric Garner, Alton Sterling. We should mourn those things. We should mourn when we see injustices taking place in our community, wherever your community is. We should mourn when there is dysfunction. We should mourn when there is division. We should mourn when people are being marginalized and being taken advantage of. But this righteous weeping that we have, y'all, should cause us not just to mourn, but to move to action. Because that's what Jesus is all about. I want y'all to know that Jesus is all about the action. I spoke a little bit about this 2 weeks ago in our sermon, It's On Us, when we talked about the Good Samaritan. But today's going to go a little bit deeper, where we see Jesus in full-blown display of what we're talking about today. Because here, Jesus is not only weeping over the city, but the Bible says he comes into Jerusalem, and then he goes into the temple. In other words, Jesus came to do something about the brokenness of this world. Jesus came to do something about the travesties that have taken place in this world. And as followers of Jesus, if you and I are really followers of Christ, if we're really Christians, God calls us to follow the lead of Jesus. That just as Jesus came to do something about it, he's also called his people to do something about it. Let me just ask this question. If we're a follower of Christ, we want to be like Jesus, right? Like, we actually want to be like the Jesus of the Bible, right? I'm not talking about the blonde-haired Jesus. I'm not talking about the blue-eyed Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Scriptures. Because the Jesus that we see here steps on the scene to do something about the brokenness that was present in this world, and he makes his way first to the temple and the city known as Jerusalem. In other words, let me say it like this. The Jesus of the Scriptures, are you ready for it? He is here for all the smoke. Jesus, you better believe it, is here for all the smoke. Some of you guys aren't familiar with the phrase all the smoke. It's a phrase that's used in hip-hop or pop culture, meaning that a person is ready to battle. They are ready to put in work. And in this account here in Mark chapter 11, we see a Jesus who wants all the smoke. He gets to work when it comes to the brokenness and the injustices that were present, and he calls us to do the same. Matter of fact, Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Everything is from God, and he has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Watch what Paul says next. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. In other words, here's what Paul is saying. You and I are ministers of reconciliation. You may not be a pastor, but if you are part of the family of God, the Bible says that you are a priest now in the family of God, which means you are a minister, and all a minister does is meet the need of somebody else. In other words, God has called his people to help make things right and to help make people one. Jesus is here for all the smoke, and so are we. Matter of fact, I need you to go ahead and type it down in the comment section. Type, I'm here for all the smoke today. I am here for all the smoke. We are here to do the work of the kingdom. We are here to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to do exactly what Jesus came to do here in this passage of Scripture. And here's what this Scripture teaches us about being about all the smoke. Here's what this passage teaches us about what it means to follow the lead of Jesus when it comes to doing something about the injustices and the racism that we see taking place in our society. Number one, here's what Jesus teaches us. As people of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as people who are here for all the smoke, here's the first thing that we do. We confront. Everybody say, we confront. That's the first thing. I want you to write it down. We confront. Notice here that Jesus steps into the temple in Jerusalem, and he immediately confronts the unjust acts that were occurring. Now, the significance of this is massive, because the temple in the Old Testament was the place where worship took place. It was a physical representation of where the people would go to connect with God and to worship God. And since now, obviously, as New Testament believers, Jesus now has come, he has been crucified, and he has raised back to life and has ascended to heaven. And so now the temple is no longer the building, but the temple is actually the people. In other words, God, through his Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us. The temple is no longer a building. The temple is a people. The temple is the church. We are his temple because he lives now on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So here's what Jesus, I think, is trying to help us understand. That this story is a picture of what Jesus desires for his church to embody and live out. We confront things. We confront the brokenness that we see taking place in our society. We confront the racial ills that are taking place. We confront the oppression. And here's the tragic thing. Unfortunately, there were unjust things happening in the temple where those who were purchasing items to use for their sacrifices and their worship to God, they were being overcharged. So one person would pay 10 times more than what they needed to actually pay to be able to offer worship to God in the Old Testament system of worship. Even more, those who were poor in this context were being taken advantage of by those who were in power. And because of that, those who were in power became rich off of the backs of those who were poor. That is systemic oppression. That is very similar to what we see happening in today's time. That there is systematic racism. There is systemic racism that is designed to oppress a certain people group, more specifically African Americans, black people. But it doesn't just stop there. It is systems that are designed to oppress people of color of all types, Asians, Latinos. In other words, the system was never meant to uphold the values of everybody, but only a certain group of people. And for years, that was just only white people. I'm just keeping it 100 with you today. I want you to know that I'm here for all the smoke today. And Jesus steps into the temple and he says, no, man, this is not how things are supposed to be. Jesus does not stand by. No, he steps up and he confronts it. Let me say it like this, and I want you to write this down. If we fail to confront what is wrong, we are complicit with what is wrong. If we fail to confront what is wrong, we are complicit with what is wrong. And tragically, through the years, the church has oftentimes been complicit for generations. Mainly, predominantly white churches have been complicit when it comes to racism and injustices. Whether through silence or through participations when it comes to racism. I'm not just making this up. There's plenty of pastors and churches that oftentimes are held up in high esteem. Guys like a Jonathan Edwards, guys like a George Whitfield, that in a carnal moment supported the acts of slavery. It is that type of thought process and spirit that has also permeated for years throughout this country and even throughout this world. And because of the silence oftentimes of the church, it has led to the enslavement of people. And Jesus is saying, that is not my kingdom. That is not my desire. What does it look like today? It looks like when matters of racial injustice take place, that oftentimes many may be silent when it comes to the systemic things that are present. So things like we'll have schools that are named after slave owners, but we'll consider them good leaders. People oftentimes mistreated others because of their color and their class. And oftentimes, throughout the tragic history of our country and even our world, these leaders have been oftentimes propped up as if they are the cream of the crop of what leadership and what love looks like. But Jesus is saying, I'm here to tear it all down. I'm here for all the smoke. Because anything that runs contrary to my word, anything that runs contrary to my grace, anything that runs contrary to my love, anything that runs contrary to my word and to my will, I am here to confront it all. If you don't believe me, here's what the Bible says in Amos chapter 5, verse 21 through 24 in the Message paraphrase translation. Here's what God says. Are you ready for it? Look at what he says. I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. Isn't this a strong word? I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I am sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you sang to me? Here's what God says. Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all that I want. Do you see the heart of God here? The passion of God. This is what we see in Jesus here in Mark 11. That Jesus hates racism. Jesus hates oppression. Jesus hates division. Jesus hates bigotry. As followers of Jesus Christ, we confront racism. We confront bigotry. We confront white supremacy. We confront partiality. We confront oppression. We confront division. We confront anything that opposes the word of God and the ways of God, because that's what Jesus does. But we not only confront these things. It doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just start with being righteous, having a righteous indignation towards these things. No. It doesn't just stop there. But no. We not only confront, but now as the people of God, we dismantle. That's the second thing I want to talk about right now. We dismantle. Notice what Jesus does upon entering into the temple. The end of verse 15, it says that he went into the temple and he began to throw out those buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry goods throughout the temple. I want you to notice what Jesus does here. Jesus, upon entering the temple and upon seeing people being taken advantage of, even here in the temple, notice what Jesus does. He flips tables. He flips the chairs. He clears out the temple of the corruption, of the greed, of the injustice, and he begins to dismantle the systems and practices that were taking advantage of the people. Can I say it again? Jesus is here for all the smoke. He begins to, the Bible says, throw out those who were buying and selling. And when you read that, if you do a little bit of word study of that phrase, throw out, the Greek word used for throw out here is also the same word that's used to describe when Jesus drives out demons in Matthew 8. What is the connection here? In other words, Jesus has come to drive out this demonic and oppressive system of racism that is present and that has been present in our time and for times to come. Just as Jesus stepped onto the scene into the temple to cast out these demonic forces that were taking advantage of people, Jesus calls us to do the same today. Jesus wants his followers today to be a part of dismantling the corruption that is present. Systemic racism is a demonic and an oppressive system that we have been called to dismantle. Systemic racism, y'all, is not just a spiritual thing. It is also a systemic thing. What do I mean? It is systemic in the fact of you can use finances from real estate property taxes to fund schools in certain communities, which is why some schools will have certain things that others don't. That's called systemic racism, and it is tied to a word named redlining. If you don't know anything about it, go Google it, and your eyes will be open. That is systemic racism. Those are the things that Jesus has come and called us to tear down. Dismantling is all about driving things out that are demonic and removing things that are demonic. Here's what Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8 through 9 says. And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do you see how passionate God is about seeing when people are being taken advantage of and getting in the work to tear it down? Here's what Proverbs 31:9 says. Speak up, judge righteously, and defend the cause of the oppressed and the needy. Let me say it like this, fam, and I need you to get this in your heart. If we see the problem but do nothing about the problem, we are part of the problem. If we see the problem but do nothing about the problem, we are a part of the problem. So what does this look like practically for us, right? Because I want you to see what Jesus is doing here. It is a spiritual work, but it's a very much of a natural work what he's doing in the temple. He's literally kicking people out who are taking advantage of people. He is tearing down these systems that existed in the temple. Those are natural things that Jesus actually did, which also means by the power of the Holy Spirit, he calls us also to be active in tearing down some systemic things that are in our day and time. So what does that look like? It means that we confront broken things and systems in our day and time. We get in the mix to bring about change. This is why people protest. I'm not talking about looting and tearing down things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we raise our voice against the things that are oppressing people. It means that when we see schools that are named after slave owners, we get to work to change the school names. That's what I'm talking about. It means that I cannot have my child walk around a school that is named after somebody who made his living on oppressing people. That cannot be the way. Jesus calls us to be a part of the game and to dismantle systems. It means also, maybe even more personally, that the words that we use in our own homes and families to describe people of a different ethnicity, we tear them down. We dismantle them because they are not of God. We get rid of those words in our vernacular that speak of people who look different than us. We cast it out. We drive it out of our house. We drive it out by the power of this Holy Spirit out of our hearts. It means that when we see injustice even taking place on our jobs, we speak up, even if it means we are risking our jobs. I hear what some of you guys are probably saying, but Pastor Edwin, I need my job. Do you not understand if you speak up and do what God has called you to do, he always honors and blesses faithfulness? Do you not understand that he is the one who owns cattle on 1,000 hills? And if you stand on the right side and do what he's called you to do, he will make sure you are taken care of. Yes, I'm calling us to take stands, even if it means I got to risk some things. That's what people did back in the day. That's even what Jesus did. That's why later on in this passage of scripture, the Bible says that the religious leaders began to plot as to how they could kill him. I want you to understand something, y'all. It is going to come at a cost when it comes to dismantling systems, because what are we doing? We are ultimately tearing down idols that these systems have been made in honor of. It means that we as the people of God move from awareness to action. It means that we look for areas where there are strongholds and we tear them down. We confront and we dismantle. Maybe that means that you need to examine some things in your own life. Where have there been some things in your life that have caused division that it is time for you now to dismantle? What things have you allowed? What things have you and I tolerated that are not right? They are not God, and we know it, but we've been silent. God says, no longer will you be silent. I've called you to confront, and I've called you to dismantle. I've called you to be here for all the smoke, because that's what Jesus was about. But it doesn't stop there. Not only do we confront, not only do we dismantle, but here's another thing that we do that Jesus teaches us here in this passage. We preach. We preach. I want you to notice in verse 17, after Jesus drives out the corruption, notice what verse 17 says. He was teaching them. He was teaching them. Is it not written? He's quoting a scripture, and he's preaching to them here. Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Notice what Jesus is doing here. He is quoting a scripture from Isaiah 53 and Jeremiah chapter 7. Ultimately, he is communicating the heart of God. And the heart of God is that God desires to be in relationship with people and to have a house and a family for all people. Notice here that Jesus says his house, which represents now his church, that it is to be a place and a home for all nations. That word nations translates to the Greek word ethnos, which represents all people groups, all ethnicities, all backgrounds. This is why the vision of our church, the Bridge Church, is to be a multi-ethnic church. What do I mean by that? A church made up of people from different ethnic backgrounds, because Jesus came and died on the cross, not just for black people, but for white people, Latino people, Native Americans, Bulgarian, Russians, Australian. He came to die for all people, and he desires his church on earth to be a reflection of what eternity will be like. Studies have actually shown that still today, Sunday worship is considered to be one of the most segregated, if not still the most segregated hour of the week. I want you to know something, family. That's not God's desire. God's desire is that our churches would look like heaven. Multi-ethnic, diverse across background, diverse across color, diverse across culture. So we as the people of God, we preach against the spirit of racism. We preach against the spirit of division. We preach against the spirit of bigotry and the spirit of partiality. And what Jesus quotes here is the message of the gospel. It is the message of what Paul says, reconciliation, which means that things have been made right and people have been made one or been made whole. And he's called us to do this. Jesus has called you to be a preacher of the gospel. I didn't say a pastor, to be a preacher. A preacher is somebody who tells somebody about something. A preacher is somebody who proclaims something. A preacher is somebody who declares something. A preacher is somebody who speaks something. He's called you to be a preacher of the message of reconciliation. How do I know that? Because Paul says it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. He says this, everything is from God who has reconciled us. In other words, he's brought us to himself through Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the dismantling. That's the confronting. That is in Christ. God, watch this, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message, do you see it? The message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Do you see the language that Paul uses here? He has called us to be ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who goes on behalf of somebody in greater authority, and they speak on behalf of the person in greater authority. What Paul is saying is God, through the power of his son, Jesus Christ, has called you to go speak on behalf of the kingdom, to tell people what Jesus has come to do, that Jesus has confronted racism, that he's dismantling those dividing walls. He has come against it. And we as the people of God, that is what we preach. That is our message as a church, as the people of God, that Jesus came to make things right and that Jesus came to make people one. One with God, one with one another. So we preach. Somebody say we preach. So we preach. We tell people that Jesus and only Jesus can transform the racist heart. We tell people that only Jesus can take enemies and make them family. We tell people that only Jesus can forgive our sins, past, present, and future. We tell people that Jesus is the one who can tear down dividing walls. We preach Jesus because only he can do something about the division and the racism that we see. We preach Christ crucified because he is the one that got up out of the grave on the third day. We preach Jesus, the one who reigns over injustice, the one who reigns over racism, the one who reigns over oppression, the one who reigns over strongholds, the one who reigns over brokenness, because at the name of Jesus, not only will every knee and name have to bow, but dysfunction has to bow, division has to bow, racism has to bow, injustice has to bow, because Jesus has accomplished this great victory, and we preach it, y'all. We preach this gospel. This is our message as the church, that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ confronts things. It dismantles things. It reveals new things. It creates a new thing. It creates a new humanity. It creates a new people. It creates a new way, the kingdom way. And I hear Jesus today saying, I'm here for all the smoke. I've handled it, and I will handle it. But Pastor Edwin, we still see racism and division taking place. Why? Because we are in the already and the not yet. The already meaning that Jesus has already come and he's died on the cross and he has already inaugurated a new way of life and a new covenant with people called the church, which is to be a picture of what wholeness, love, justice looks like. We are not only in the already, but we're also in the not yet, meaning that we are in transition, that there is going to come a day where there will be no more crying, no more dying, no more pain, no more inequity, no more partiality, no more racism, no more being treated negatively because of the color of your skin. That is what the new heaven and the new earth will look like. But until we get there, we will confront racism. Until we get there, we will dismantle the systems of racism. Until we get there, we will preach the one who has already conquered racism, and in his name is Jesus. We are here for all the smoke. I don't know about you, family. Come on, somebody. I need you to give me an amen in the comment section. I am here for all the smoke in this season. I have committed my life to be about this thing. I have committed my life to be about seeing reconciliation and righteousness take place. I believe I'm not the only one in there. Can I get a good amen in the comment section? I am here for all the smoke. I'm going to love people. I'm going to extend grace to people, but that's not an excuse for me to be passive. As a matter of fact, truly loving people and extending grace to people means I see people when they're mistreated and I do something about it. I'm here for all the smoke. Jesus is here for all the smoke. We move from awareness now to action. And some of you are asking God, are saying right now, Pastor Edwin, what can I do about this? I want you to begin to search your heart. Ask God, would you show me my role in this? Would you show me what I'm called to do? Would you show me how you've equipped me to make a difference in my own community? It doesn't matter if you have a title or not. It doesn't matter if you have all the degrees or not. God has called you and I to make a difference. He has called you and I to have this spirit rise up on the inside of us where we say, enough is enough. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my community, this community will know about Jesus. As for me in this country will know about what justice and love and reconciliation looks like. This world will know what justice and love and reconciliation looks like. That's what he's called us to do, to be a people who's here for all the smoke. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to reconcile us. He came to make us whole. He came to make us one. He came to make us right. That's the call of God. Some of you are watching this right now. I believe that God is calling you to step up and to do something greater in this season. That's the word for our church this year, greater. What if God's word for greater wasn't about more income? No. What if it was more so about God saying, I'm calling you to a greater place of compassion and a greater place of action? I believe that God is calling you to that. And I believe that God wants you to search your heart and begin to seek him as it relates to what it is that he's called you to do. So I want to lead us in two prayers. For those of you right now, you feel this burning sensation on the inside of you. I want to do something about this. I want to protest. I want to do all that. But man, I want to be a part of it. I want to keep it going. I don't want this to stop. I don't want this just to be a trendy thing that when people stop talking about it, I stop caring about it. No, because this is near and dear to the heart of God. I want to be a part of this. For some of you, you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never given him your life. And until that happens, you will never be made right with God. You will always try to scratch and claw to get the blessings of God and experience the love of God. But I want you to understand something. There's nothing that you can do to earn the love of God. He gives it to you freely. And that's why he sent Jesus. He sent you Jesus so that way you could be in relationship with him, not because of anything that you have done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross and through his resurrection. So I want to lead us in prayer in this moment. First, for those of us who know God is calling you to step up in a greater way. And if you could be honest, you've been apathetic. You've been on the sidelines. You've been watching all this stuff. You've even said things like, man, I want to do something, but I don't know where to start. And that has caused you to be inactive. God says, today I'm calling you to step up. I'm calling you to be a people and to be a person that's here for all this world. I believe that's what God's calling you to. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person who feels this righteous indignation rising up, I pray that you would begin to reveal to them the call of God on their life, the purpose and the plan that you have for their life. I pray that you would begin to reveal to them and show to them what it is that you've called them to do, that you've called them to be in the game, that you've called them to make a difference. I pray that today would be an eye-opening moment, that you would reveal things to us, that you would show us how we can make a difference, that just as Jesus went into the temple and cleaned it out, Lord, I pray that you would show us today what you've called us to do. to be a part of bringing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, while heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never received his love, you've never received his grace, you've never received his forgiveness for your sins, today I want to invite you to say yes to him today. I want to invite you to follow him today. I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus and receive him by faith. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if this is you, no matter who you are, no matter what your age is, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your background is, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, this is for you. This is your day. This is your new beginning. Would you repeat these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me life and life more abundantly. I receive your love. I receive your mercy. In your name I pray. Amen. If you said yes to Jesus today, I want you to know that you've made the greatest decision that you could ever make. All of heaven is rejoicing. And we, as your church family, we put our hands together and we say thank you, Jesus, for another family member that's been added to the family. Come on, in the chat section, give me some digital noise. Say amen. Put some high fives up in there. Put some different emojis in there. Let's celebrate every single person who said yes to Jesus today. And if you said yes to Jesus today, what I want you to do is I want you to text I decided to that number at the bottom of the screen, because we want to follow up with you and help you take your next step. We want to help you walk out the plan and purpose of God that he has for your life. And family, I want to leave us with this thought, that as we continue to watch the throne, as we continue to get a picture of what eternity will be like, God's righteousness and justice, as we watch the throne, family, it compels us to be ambassadors. We will not be people who sit back. We will be people who confront. We will be people who dismantle. We will be people who preach. We are the people of God. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are the people that are here for all the smoke.